This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Over 325,000 Pfizer vaccine doses have landed in the country overnight. Giving an update on the delivery of Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer vaccine doses, the Health Minister, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, said the country will be receiving about 300,000 Pfizer vaccine doses on a weekly basis until the end of May, and this will be doubled to around 630,000 weekly doses from June. South African experts, South Africa expects it to have secured at least 4.5 million Pfizer vaccine doses by the end of June. Let's get more on this. I have on the line Executive Director, the Chairperson of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, that is Professor Helen Rees. Good morning, Professor Rees, and thank you for your time.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. So how significant is this then, the arrival of these 325,000 Pfizer vaccines?
Look, I think every time we get an arrival of either the J&J or the Pfizer vaccine, it's a huge step forward. because we, as we all know, the faster we can roll out vaccines, the better, not only for protecting individuals and starting with those who are most vulnerable, you know, people who are older and with comorbidities, but it's also going to really have a dent if we get a third wave, if we've vaccinated people. And by vaccinating people, we're also going to make an impact on the emergence of new variants. So getting this now is incredibly important. But of course, the real question is, how quickly can we roll them out?
Right. Tell us about more about the properties of the Pfizer vaccine versus the Johnson & Johnson, and as far as it relates to their storage conditions and so on.
Yeah, so they are different vaccines. They're made on what's called a different platform. And that's good, because what we don't want to do is to have the same vaccine, just one sort of platform vaccine throughout. Ideally, what you want is different platforms, so that if you have a problem with one, for example, you find that there are some serious and unexpected adverse side effects, or you find that the variant is having a very negative impact on the effectiveness of one, you've got something different to fall back on. So that's very good. The Pfizer vaccine is what we call an mRNA vaccine, and it's very novel. It's just a little bit of a genetic code of the virus. So it's not going to produce the whole virus or anything like that, and that genetic code doesn't get into our body and link up with our own genetics. And it's surrounded by a protective layer of fat, which allows it to get safely into the body. And then that little bit of genetic code allows one of the proteins of the virus to be made. And then we produce, our own immune systems kick in, we produce the antibodies. J&J is different because it has a vector, a viral vector that carries in, again, a little bit of genetic code. So it's a very different mechanism. But again, these are these little bits of genetic messaging don't do any harm to our own genes. So there's nothing to worry about at all from that. But what they do is they produce a bit of the protein of the virus and our immune system kicks in. So that's how they work. But you're right, the Pfizer vaccine has to be stored at these very cold temperatures, minus 70, whereas J&J can be stored at fridge temperatures when it gets out into the periphery. And so it's much easier from a storage point of view. J&J is a single dose, whereas Pfizer has to have two doses. So they are different, and they have different qualities. So at the moment, the thinking is, because of the more challenging storage for Pfizer, it might be better to centralize the Pfizer vaccine in urban areas where you're more likely to have the facilities to have these ultra-cold storage temperatures, and let J&J go out to more peripheral areas where this, because it requires much higher temperatures, it's easier to store.
So up to now, we've been talking, dealing with a Johnson & Johnson rollout of as part of a trial that's been now rolled out to healthcare workers. With the arrival of the Pfizer vaccine, does this now signal or mark the start of a vaccine rollout program in the country?
Yes, it does. I mean, obviously, the 3B trial of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is ongoing. It was unfortunate that we had to pause it, and that stopped the momentum somewhat. But it's back up and going again now. And we're very keen that all the 500,000 Johnson & Johnson vaccines should get used up targeting the healthcare workers. But the Pfizer vaccine that's now coming in, and we soon will also have doses, additional doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that will be for a rollout. And in the first instance, the health department is looking at particularly people over the age of 60. So many of you who are over 60, I don't know why, I don't know in your listenership how many are. Anyway, well, you must talk to your grandparents. Okay. But they should have had a message on a WhatsApp. And in fact, it would be important if young people do talk to older people who might not be so familiar with using apps on their phone and things like that. So actually, if a message could go out, is to say, if you've got elderly relatives, older people over the age of 60, please help them. Just make sure they've registered. Right. Because through registering on the app, then you'll get a call-up date to a local facility. So that's what's being planned, and we're hoping that that will start this month in May.
And then finally, I hear that, I mean, it sounds to me that Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer vaccines are now taking prominence. No longer am I hearing any talk about AstraZeneca, and for that matter, no am I hearing about the Sinovac or the Sputnik V that have been manufactured by China and Russia, respectively.
Well, the health department and the regulator, SAHPRA, have been very, very clear that we are willing to look at any vaccine that is offered to us. But we are going to have appropriate standards for safety, quality and efficacy. And the quality bit means, you know, really checking on how they're being manufactured. So those standards are there and they're set. But we're absolutely looking at every manufacturer who's approaching us, who has a vaccine in an advanced stage that could be used to be rolled out. So at the moment, both Sinovac and the Gamaleya, the Sputnik vaccine, are being looked at by the regulatory authority. Mm. And there have been discussions with the Vaccine Ministerial Advisory Committee with the manufacturers of both those vaccines. So we're definitely open to all applications.
And do we know what the level of availability is of those alternative vaccines? And I say, maybe I shouldn't even tag them that, but of the Sinovac and the Sputnik V, I mean, what is their capacity in terms of their production at the stage?
It's a good question, because Sputnik, for example, has more than one manufacturing plant. And Sinovac is manufactured at the moment in China, but is also looking at other manufacturing plants worldwide. A lot of the companies are trying to diversify where they're manufacturing, so that if one plant has difficulties, they've got alternative establishments. So it would seem from listening and listening globally as well that there are going to be available supplies of both Sputnik and the Sinovac. So it does seem that is on offer.
All right. Thanks so much, Professor Helen Rees, for that update. Professor Rees is the chairperson of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority and also the chair of the WHO Afro-Region Immunization Technical Advisory Group.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.